I want to say the thing that I am the most proud of is creating the platform so other people can come and give. Because oftentimes, artists are like, oh, I would love to help artists. Oh, I would love to help a charity, but I don't know which one. Fans are like, okay, I would love to do more than just donate $10. How can I get involved? So I would just say I'm most proud of creating a platform where those things can come together so we can go and create an impact together. Because there's one thing to donate money. It's another thing to know that what you're doing and your actions or your money is going towards somewhere you can actually see, feel connected to, and feel somehow.
Welcome to the Edge of Excellence podcast. This show is for current and aspiring leaders that are dedicated to showing up every day in their lives with excellence. We break down the careers of those excelling so you can understand what is out there and how to rise up in every field you choose. Let's get the show on the road, shall we? Your host has spent his life promoting global entrepreneurship, helping 20-somethings find their passion, and working to help others achieve excellence. CEO of CollegeWorks, Matt Stewart.
Welcome to the show. Thank you for listening. Don't forget to hit that subscription button and don't forget to share. We've got a great show for you today. We have Elaine Huang on the show. Elaine is the founder of Neon Owl. And if you're into EDM music, you've probably heard of Neon Owl. Neon Owl is a music and charity platform. Elaine took her desire to help others and her passion for music and put it together in one business. And then she started another one, Open Door Sessions, an artist development platform. So Elaine's going to explain it all to you. She's going to talk about her lifelong desire to do more. She had a great job. She had a great career. She had this burning desire to do more. And that developed into these platforms to help others do more. She could talk about turning her passion into a business and leveraging her interests and the artist's interests to create this music and charitable combination. And lastly, and most importantly, Elaine has a system for excellence. She listens to the little voices and figures out what they're telling her. She makes declarations publicly, and then she just goes hard because her definition of excellence includes the desire to be the best and do what you're saying. Welcome to the show and welcome to the Edge of Excellence. Well, Elaine, thank you so much for making time, coming in from Brooklyn, New York, helping all these different charities and all these different artists. Really appreciate you taking time of your day to join us on the Edge of Excellence.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I was excited to hear from you.
Yeah, it's been a little while, although it feels like it hasn't been that long and you look exactly the same.
Thank you.
You got a little CollegeWorks blue in your hair, but we're going to dive in with the question I always start with. What is your definition of excellence?
My definition of excellence is, I think, simply doing your best to the best of your ability and being a person of integrity. So doing what you say, following through, and pushing yourself out of your comfort zone to do your absolute best.
Integrity. Do what you say. What a novel concept. That's an interesting definition. So excellence is different for every person. If a person, you know, doesn't have the ability of another person, but they're doing what they say, they commit to what they can push for, and they do their absolute best, they're achieving excellence.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, I wouldn't say there's doing your absolute best, and I have to tie in integrity, because you can do your absolute best and, like, not care about anything, anyone else around you. That's why I like to add in the word integrity. It's also being a person with integrity, with dignity and honor and all of those things too.
And if you put those two together, you do your best, you try to achieve your best, you're setting that the bar high. You're going as hard as you can go. And then you have the integrity, the commitment, you do what you say to yourself, to other people. I like it. We'll come back to it, but let's get into your life because you've had an interesting life. You were excellent in college. I remember we worked together. We did the CollegeWorks thing together. Then you went off to a company called Rayco that was started by a person that used to work with us at CollegeWorks. And then you had your quarter life crisis, not a midlife crisis, not a post-life crisis, not a pre-life crisis, but you're in a crazy career, kicking butt, and you decided to change gears completely and founded Neon Owl and brought philanthropy to the party, bringing charity to artists, bringing charity to different festivals. So tell us about what you do now. Tell us about Neon Owl, and maybe tell us about your quarter life crisis, because there's someone listening right now that's 24, has a pretty good job, but wants to do something different. So how did you get the guts to do something different, and what happened in your quarter life crisis?
Yeah, so that's a lot. And yes, I would say in this moment, I do a lot of things. I consider myself a multi-passionate entrepreneur. I have a few different businesses. I work with people in coaching and branding. I have a skincare business and a greeting cards company. But the one that I am the most passionate about, and the one I left Rayco to start, was Neon Owl and Open Door Sessions, which came out of Neon Owl. Ultimately, I work in the music space, specifically the dance music space. And like you said, we pretty much bring the philanthropy to the party. That's what Neon Owl is all about. It's about bridging the gap between music and philanthropy through artists, festivals, fans. We do a lot of content. We do a lot of activations at festivals. We do a lot of volunteering. And it's all about raising awareness for different causes around the world that people may not know about. But the cool thing about it is it's leveraging a huge, huge, huge industry, the dance music industry, to do so. Because unlike, let's say, Billie Eilish or Justin Bieber, a lot of people, although they listen to dance music, they don't really know the DJs as well. So actually, that's why I decided to get into that space. I saw this opportunity or opening for artists in the dance music space and festivals to really leverage their power to do more good. So anyways, that's another story of why I even got inspired to do that. And from that, I launched Open Door Sessions just a few years back. And that's all about helping the next wave of artists and creatives make it in the music space. Because for me, even though I work with a lot of big DJs, big festivals, my passion is helping undiscovered artists get heard and get signed. So since I built all those amazing relationships over the years, I was like, okay, why don't I put all these people in one space so we can help find the next generation of, you know, big artists and cultivate their careers and their mindsets and their skills that way.
Were you going to say the next David Guetta?
Martin Garrix.
I didn't know you didn't mention any names, and I had to throw that one out.
I was like, do I want a name drop? I was like, yes. Yeah. So pretty much, and that's already, you know, happened, maybe not to that level, right, of Martin Garrix or David Guetta, but we have had many artists like start with us when they had, let's say, 50 followers on SoundCloud, and now they're voted on DJ Mag's top 100. So I am really proud of what we've created. You know, keyword is like community. And I want to say inclusion. So it's a place where everyone feels like they belong. It's not you're a bigger DJ person than me, but it's like everyone belongs, everyone's included, and it's all about building together.
Well, the best way to pick your artist is to talk to my son, because he knows every artist even before you know it. He was on stage with Migos before there was a Migos, with up on stage or holding his phone, crazy stuff. But let's not talk about how you pick your artist. Let's talk about how do you pick these charities to support you. We got to unpack what you just talked about, because you talked about becoming an entrepreneur. You have this great job. You're crushing it. You love the people you work with. You love your job. Someone out there is doing that right now, but something's missing, right? Something's missing. And then you become an entrepreneur, and entrepreneurs follow their passion. Entrepreneurs fill a need. Entrepreneurs fix something that's broken. So you saw a need to bring charity to dance festivals? I don't even understand that. So you have a passion for dance music, and then you must have some weird passion for philanthropy. And in your crazy entrepreneurial mind, you put those two things together. So someone's listening going, you know, I got a killer job. I don't really love it that much. There's something I'm missing in life, and they've got that burn going, and they've got some passion, maybe these two crazy passions. So how did you figure out that those passions would come together, and how did you figure out you could go off and make a living on it while helping others?
Yeah. So maybe I must preface this by saying this is not the most practical way, but let me just say I have never been that practical. So So I will say, yes, I was working at Rayco at the time, and it was a great company, great job. I was making great money. It was great everything. So I did not, FYI, I did not hate or dislike my job at all. I really liked it.
But something was missing. And that's what we're talking to that person. They love their job, but something's missing and they want to go out and do something crazy.
Yes. So basically what was missing is I just felt that I was meant to make an impact in this world in a different way somehow. So although, you know, we had painting, construction, and solar, people were like, well, technically you are changing the world in the solar and renewable energy space. And I was like, no, not the way I want to change it. And ever since I was young, I knew I wanted to help somehow. I even flew to New York during my time at Rayco. I flew to New York. I interviewed a bunch of nonprofit founders. I was like, what makes a nonprofit? How is it like working here? And I was like, too many rules and regulations. I don't think I would like to switch from Rayco to a nonprofit. However, I love people. I love music. I love festivals. And I love this vibe that dance music and the dance music community gives off. But I also saw that there wasn't enough of giving back. And what I mean by that is I would buy a festival ticket for like $500, $300. And at the end, it would say, would you like to donate, you know, whatever, $20 or $10 or a dollar? And I'm like, I just paid $500. Shouldn't you donate the $20? And so something I think inside of me went like, okay, there's this huge, huge industry. I think at the time it was a $7 or $8 billion industry, but I didn't see a lot around giving back or content that I felt like mattered enough. Like there were some, but it wasn't a lot. And so I was like, okay, dance music and people that go to festivals, it's all about peace, love, unity, respect, plur. That's a thing. And so I was like, what if I could create something that could bring plur outside of these four walls within the festival? So all about diversity and inclusion and giving back and kindness. So I was like, maybe I can create something in the dance music space. You know, I can go dance and rave at, right? And give back at the same time. So it was this really weird, crazy idea. And it was not about the money, but we'll get to that later. It was not about the money. It was like, okay, I'm making money. It's not about the money. How can I go create something that lasts, possibly even beyond my lifetime? So I started Neon Owl with my younger brother, Ray, who also did College Works, actually. I started Neon Owl with him with the intention to just share our motto, which is dance, give, inspire.
So the process that you go through, and that's, and you just explained it so well. You felt you were meant to do more. You felt you're meant to do more. You're doing the solar thing. You're impacting the world in a good way, but you need to do more. So you go out, and part of your process was to probe and explore, and you start thinking about different things. Then you go out and you interview all these nonprofit founders, and there's too many rules. So how did you end up figuring out, wait a second, I still want to do this. You're probing, were you journaling? How did it come to you that, you know what we're going to do? We're going to bring philanthropy to the party. How did that end up happening? Tell the person that's listening right now that's got these fragmented ideas. You probe, you explore, you interview, and then what happens?
I think ultimately it came down to A, I'm always asking questions. So it's me asking myself the question, which is like, what do you want to do? How do you want to create the impact? What vehicle do you want to create that impact with? And what skills do you have? Because I grew up not thinking I had any skills because I was bad at, like, I don't know, pretty bad in school, honestly. And I picked up some instruments, but I never stuck with them, and I can't sing. So I was like, okay, I don't have a skill. But during my time at College Works and just like working multiple jobs, I was like, my skill is people. So I was like, how can I leverage my people skills to create something? If I can enroll other people into my vision, dance, give, inspire, right, of bringing this philanthropy into the music space, I think I have a story there. And I think people resonate with stories, right, and the way it makes them feel. And because I had something unique that wasn't really done in the music space, I think it just came down to me, not knowing, but being okay with not knowing. I'm like, how do I create this? I know zero people in the music industry. But it doesn't matter. I'm passionate. So I think passion does take you far, and then paired with, you know, knocking on doors and having thick skin, that is kind of the combination in itself to make something happen. So once I decided that, it was me just declaring that out into the world via Facebook status and telling my friends that I was going to create this weird thing called Neon Owl. And I went from there.
Okay, so you have this sense of uneasiness. You love your job, you love the people, but you want to do more. You start probing, you start exploring, and you're asking questions. You're asking yourself questions. What's my platform? What am I good at? Now, you talked for a second there about this lack of confidence that pops up. I'm not good at anything. I don't have any skills. So you grab that thing, you throw it out the window because you know that's crap. And you get down to, I have people skills. You forgot communication skills. I've got great communication skills, and I have a good story. So you just, were you journaling? Were you writing things down? You must have had a bunch of different ideas. How did you narrow in on this idea and separate it from the others?
Yes. So I have a million journals. I journal a lot, like pen and paper journal, like not digital journal. It's all about the pen and paper. I brainstorm a lot. I'm a lot about like pros and cons list, this versus that. So journaling is definitely a big process of mine. And then speaking my thoughts out loud is another one. So whether that's talking to my brother, talking to my friends, and just kind of throwing the idea around, especially within my own dance music community, I'm like, hey, would you like it if we had like a cool collaboration with the DJ and, you know, the money from the shirts went to charity? Or like, how do you feel about this platform where when you party, you're actually supporting a cause? And so all these weird ideas that I threw out there, and people were like, well, I don't know how you're going to do it. I'm like, I'm not asking you how I'm going to do it. I'm asking, what do you feel about it? So that's kind of how it started.
All right. So lots of notes, lots of business ideas, lots of pro-con sheets, and you keep going and you keep going. You just know you want to do more. You know you want to do more. And then one day it comes to you and you've let go of all those negative thoughts about how you're not good at anything. And you go, boom, I'm going to try it.
Pretty much.
All right. So you go off and you set up your first charity / artist partnership or charity awareness / music event. And it's gone on for now many years. And you've worked with all sorts of different people, all sorts of different charities. How do you pick the charity?
Yes. So in the beginning, it was just my own research. So we started off with like, okay, since we're all about music, we decided to donate the money to Fender's Music Foundation. So they're all about when the school cuts budgets, what goes is the arts, which I feel is equally as important as everything else. So we were like, okay, music charity, schools, and the arts. So we kind of picked the first one that way. And then we expanded to different ones. For example, you know, clean water in developing countries. So that's another thing, another perspective is when we're traveling and we're going to all these festivals, we're living the life, right? Like we're spending all this money going to festivals, eating good, dancing, partying, when in reality, a lot of people don't even have the basics. And not even to talk about crazy faraway countries, but even when people go to Cabo or Cancun, they think, and we've been to Cabo and Cancun before, Matt, together, but like, you know, in the group trips, and we think this is some crazy party city, clubs and, you know, resorts. But in reality, if you drive a little further, there's slums and there's orphanages, but we don't see that as tourists. We just see the party, you know, like we see the party, we see the beach, we see the resorts. So that's how we started partnering with Groove Cruise. We brought the DJs and the fans to, even if it's not monetary, we'll do something experiential. So teaching the kids how to DJ or just showing them what life of a DJ looks like. And they're like, wow, I've never seen a swimming pool. I've never seen a mansion that, you know, that's where we do like the events. So simply giving them that experience is another thing, right? Aside from the monetary piece. So depending on what organizations or what DJs we work with, sometimes they already have charities that they work with or causes that they are passionate about. Maybe it's mental health. We've definitely lost a lot of artists, well, people in general, but in the music space, we've lost so many artists due to mental health and that not being something that's brought up. So mental health is another one we cover. If someone lost someone to breast cancer, that could be another thing we cover. for this upcoming event, we actually have one on Saturday. It's with Anjuna Beats, which is a huge, huge dance label that's founded by Above and Beyond, which are like legends in the industry. They've been around for like, I don't know, 20 years. So we have a virtual event coming up. And this time I decided to work with animal shelters because within the pandemic itself, people adopted a lot of pets and there was already an animal problem out on the streets, but people adopted all these pets. And unfortunately, this makes me mad at people. When things started opening back up, they decided to return their pets. So you can see what an issue this is, considering these shelters are already understaffed with volunteers. So we decided to, you know, for this upcoming Saturday's event, work with animal shelters and independent animal rescues.
So you start off, you want to come up with a focus, you want to do something big, you go, okay, we're in the music industry, let's focus on music. You go work with the Fender Music Charity. Then it moves into awareness and gratefulness. So you notice that your friends are having a great time, you're having a great time. What's going on in the rest of the world? And you start showing others what you're seeing and helping them create gratefulness. And then it moves into interest leveraging, either your interests, and you've got an artist that is willing to go with your choices, or the artist's interests because they've got something they want to leverage. So now you've become this opportunity for people to take whatever they want to focus on and leverage it through either the artist or all the different people coming to the shows. And what are you most proud of over your years with this Neon Owl business? What impact are you most proud of?
So I love all of it. I want to say the thing that I am the most proud of is creating the platform so other people can come and give. Because oftentimes, artists are like, oh, I would love to help artists. Oh, I would love to help a charity, but I don't know which one. Fans are like, okay, I would love to do more than just donate $10. How can I get involved? So I would just say I'm most proud of creating a platform where those things can come together so we can go and create an impact together. Because there's one thing to donate money. It's another thing to know that what you're doing and your actions or your money is going towards somewhere you can actually see, feel connected to, and feel somehow.
So you wanted to do more. That was your goal. You left a great job to go do more. Your definition of excellence is be the best you can and do what you say. So you tell your friends, hey, I'm going to go start this charity / artist mix up collab brand. And you keep pushing and pushing because you got really good and you can do better. And you got better and you can do even better. And you told your friends you're going to start this business. You probably told them it was going to be a huge business. So you're driving towards excellence and you're helping others drive to more as well. So your vision of more has been broadened out and leveraged to everyone's vision of more.
Yes. I didn't know that when I started. I can be quite impulsive sometimes. But I go with my gut, and my gut told me I had to start this without knowing the how. So it's kind of just evolved into the many different branches that now Neon Owl is.
You know what I need? I need some amazing lights to do my gloving with you right now. Brian Lim, if you're listening to this, you need to send me some amazing lights so I can do gloving with Elaine while we're talking about her business. And I don't know if you've ever seen people gloving or people practicing gloving.
Absolutely. I don't do it, but I know it.
It is a thing. And if you're interested in gloving, you can go check out the amazing group, Amazing Group. They're not our sponsor today. Neon Owl's our sponsor, but why not? Why not?
Are you enjoying the show thus far? We go through so many resources and links with this podcast, it's tough to keep up. I get it. That's why Matt and the rest of the team put together the Edge of Excellence bundle. In it, you'll find different tools that relate to overarching themes and topics of the show. Things like disc assessment tools, time management strategies and tactics, stress and anxiety management tools, exclusive videos and episodes from this podcast that is not released anywhere else, and so much more. The best part? As a valued listener of the show, you can access the Edge of Excellence bundle 100% for free of charge. That's right, for simply being awesome and tuning in. To get access, all you have to do is go to www.collegeworks.com/podcast and fill out the short form there for us to get the bundle over to you. Once again, it's www.collegeworks.com/podcast. Now, back to the show.
So let's go back in time there, Elaine. That was pretty exciting for me. I love the entrepreneurial story. And there's someone sitting there right now going, I got a great job, but I want to go do something crazy. Remember, it took a while, right? Lots of journaling, lots of pro and con sheets. You keep going, you keep going. You probably had 6 or 7 ideas. And then you jump on one and you run with it. And one of my other guests said, I think it was my brother, you got to go for at least a year. Give it at least a year. If it doesn't work, you go to one of your other ideas. But before all this, what was life like in high school for you? What were you like? What were you doing?
Well, life in high school was, let's just say I had more of a troubled childhood and my teenage years. So I was quite lost. I went to school. I was an okay student. I would say I leveraged my people skills to get better grades though. So I would say I was a little lost in high school and even into college, but I was always well-rounded. I always had a lot of friends. I always did what I could to do as good as I can in school. But I come from a very, very traditional Chinese family. So it was kind of that balance. It's like, I was like, well, I want to do like saving the world stuff and charity stuff one day. But my parents were like, no, you have to go to a UC college. So I basically, in the in-between, made it happen. I got by, I got the grades, I did the volunteering. I did volunteer at nonprofits, and I also worked a job with a nonprofit as well. And yeah, I had friends, did okay, made it into UC Davis.
And so that's an interesting little piece of it. Your passion has been your passion since you were young. So you've been thinking about this charity thing, this nonprofit thing. I always wanted to be a teacher. So, you know, we had the college works things. I got to be a teacher. I have a soft spot for people that are hungry because my family, when we were growing up, my parents didn't have a lot of money. And sometimes my parents would skip a meal and it kind of set with me. So you kind of knew where you wanted to go in the philanthropy world, but you also knew you wanted to make that your career. And if you're listening, that's why you get the journal out. You write down all your different ideas and it keeps popping up. The philanthropy keeps popping up for Elaine. She knows she wants to do it. You must have done pretty damn well at school if you went to UC Davis. Troubled, lost, still lost. But you go to UC Davis. What was life like at UC Davis and how did you find your path in college?
Goodness. Okay. So UC Davis. So here's the funny thing is I actually applied to a bunch of UCs. I didn't think I was going to get in because my grades were, like I said, barely there. But because I did the volunteering, I had the job with the nonprofit, I had like essays filled with passion. I think that's what drew me over the edge as far as my acceptance letters that came in. But I actually almost didn't tell my parents that I got accepted into UC Davis because I wanted to go further away from home and I didn't want to go to college. But I knew that if I were to tell my Chinese parents that I got accepted into UC Davis, the one closest to home, they were going to say, you need to go to UC Davis. So that is exactly what happened. And I ended up going to UC Davis and I went to school because that was what I was supposed to do. But I also knew that the Scantrons and the 500 person lectures was not really my style, nor was I certain that like a college degree was going to get me to where I wanted to be. Like I knew I wanted to help people and I knew I wanted to be my own boss somehow as well. So my dad had a few stabs at entrepreneurship and he was somewhat successful, but had a bunch of failures as well. So a part of me knew that I wanted to be my own boss and I wanted to be free to do the things I wanted to do. And so I went to school, but I wasn't really into it. I barely picked up a textbook. And then fast forward, after kind of dragging my feet, I found CollegeWorks, which is the internship that connected the two of us. I found CollegeWorks. I was like, hey, this is way more up my alley, learning how to run a business is way up more. I'm like way up my alley. And so I ended up doing College Works, and that's what got me to the next step, which was then working at Rayco, which was a small but growing company, which was going to teach me a lot of the skills I was going to need to propel me to my next journey. So I would say school was always about barely getting by, but I always wanted something outside the box.
All right. Well, and it just, you're doing a great job of laying out the process, because like, that teaching thing always bugged me. Like I always wanted to be a teacher. My dad was a teacher, kept bugging me. And then when the opportunity came for me, I went, oh, that's kind of aligns. You've just knew you wanted to help people, and entrepreneurship is about that freedom. It's not about being the boss. It's about the freedom. But you said, be the boss, freedom. You knew it. And it just kept poking at you. And you start to see these opportunities. So you're at college, barely getting by, my butt. You're going to one of the top 40 schools in the country, barely getting by, but you're at a great school. You got your eyes open. You're looking around, you're journaling. You're looking for your opportunities. You know, it's not quite a fit, but you know, people are going to be prejudiced against you if you don't have that diploma. Yeah. So finish your diploma. If you're listening right now, finish college. Don't leave early. It's only 4 years. Come on. You found a job at College Works. You learned how to run a business. You learned some sales. You tasted a little bit of freedom. And that opened you to some more opportunities, which opened you some more opportunities. How about your confidence? Were you confident all along? Were you always, sometimes I meet people on the show that weren't confident and they said they were different in high school and then they became confident. Were you confident all the way along?
No.
Liar. I knew you right when you got to College Works. You were super confident, you liar.
So here's the thing. By the time you met me, I had gained a lot of confidence. So I always had enough confidence to be able to present myself. So I knew how to interview. I knew those things, but deep inside was always like the imposter syndrome. So even when I was interviewing for College Works, I was like, who are these studly people next to me? I literally was like, oh, but I knew how to interview. So it's like, but there was that internal imposter syndrome, which every now and then I still deal with that now. But doing College Works was like the first time I felt like I achieved something really awesome. And like, I don't know, it gave me that confidence to be able to say that I ran my own business. And I was definitely an underdog, by the way. Like in that group, I did not feel like the studliest person or even remotely close. And I went into the summer, like just briefly with like 25,000, but I tripled my business and got to 80,000. So yes, by the time you met me, I had already proven that this underdog can make it happen. And so I already grew a lot of that confidence that you now know.
Okay. So you were pretty confident, but you had a big achievement. You had that underdog, I can make it happen, which probably got you through quite a few things at Neon Owl, because it always feels like it's falling apart when you're starting a business. And then, so now, why don't you tell us, what do you do on a daily basis? You got to go find the artists. You've got to set up the events. You've got people helping you out. What is your kind of day-to-day for someone that wants to get creative, become an entrepreneur, maybe even go into, probably not your industry, because your industry is pretty specific, but into some crazy job where they're pairing two mediums together? What would they be doing on a daily basis?
Yeah, so my day-to-day has in some ways changed, but in the beginning, it was all about cold calling, knocking on doors. And what I mean by that is not sales in the sense that you have to like sell things, but you're selling people on your vision. So in the beginning, when we had zero followers, zero connections, it was all about how can I knock on doors via Instagram DMs, Facebook DMs, emails, networking at festivals. And then fast forward, of course, that's still some of what I do. But of course, I get a lot more introductions now. I'm on a lot of calls. I just talk to labels, talk to people, talk to DJs. And then, of course, I also talk to the community, right, of artists and what they're looking for, or someone that's looking to become a manager. I'm always constantly figuring out what's the pain point of the people that I'm looking to help, whether that's the rising artist, someone that wants to start their own production, promotion company. I'm always figuring out what's missing, what relationships, connections, and education is missing here. And then I go and seek the people that are established or the companies that are established that's qualified to teach that. I'm always, now that, you know, we're still kind of within this whole COVID situation, we're not doing as many in-person events, but when there were in-person events, they were also a lot more stressful. Of course, it's finding the venue, creating it, having people come on and help put it together, selling tickets. And then of course, now that, you know, we're doing things more in the virtual space until further notice, it's been easier as far as me not needing to be there for the workload, but it's all about talking on Zoom calls, on meetings all day, and then making it all come together.
So your job was build followership, build connections through cold calling, through networking. And now your job, you're still building your network, still growing the business, but you spend a lot of time discovering what pain point to solve. And instead of creating it yourself, you're a matchmaker. You figure out pain points and you figure out solutions and you put them together. So you're constantly interviewing, talking, thinking, interviewing, talking, thinking, journaling, pain point, solution, put it together. So you've got a very cerebral job now.
Yeah. So yeah, there's a day to day and then it's figuring it out, and putting it all together. And at the same time, that's what's growing our community, because when we started, it was us going to festivals and growing our community, like one person at a time. It was like, hello, my name is Neon Hao. I'm the founder of, you know, like, and so it was really about one-on-one connection. And even though I still love that, there's nothing beats one-on-one connection. Now, in a way, it's higher level because it's how do we bring on bigger brands, bigger companies, bigger influencers, not because I care about the statistics of them being bigger, but because they're going to be the people with the platform and the audience that's going to want to hear what we have to say. And fast forward, if we bring on their audience, the next time we host an event with someone else, they may find that equally as valuable, a PR session, a social media session, a production session. So now it's about how do we leverage other brands to continue to grow our community so we can serve even more people.
So the main job of an entrepreneur is to get the business going at first. And in your case, and in most people's cases, it's finding customers and finding a medium to serve those customers. Your job continues on a maybe a shorter term basis of coming up with an offering, that pain point and that solution, and you're casting the vision. Here's the solution we're going to drive. We're going to keep driving towards this solution. And the people around you are helping you fulfill your vision, which is kind of a second stage entrepreneur, setting the vision and having the team in place to go execute it. But you still have to drive the most important part of the business, whatever business you're in. You still got to drive the community. You still got to get in there and meet your customers and make sure you know that the vision is going in the right direction. What percentage of your time is spent directing others and what percentage of your time is spent diving in and doing it yourself?
All right. So here's when the controller, this is my baby, this is my passion, the artistry comes in, is I used to do it all myself and my brother and a couple of our friends. Those were pretty much our ambassadors. And then over the course of time, we did give some responsibilities to others. So I would love to say that I am a business owner and not an operator, but the hard truth is, caring so much and wanting to do it right, I often get sucked into the, let's say, the day to day. So as much as I would love to sit here and tell you that, oh, 10% of my time is spent on all the little mundane things. No, it's still, I want to say, I don't know, 50-50, 30-70.
It's still a work in progress.
Yes, it is.
And that's the next stage. The next stage of the entrepreneur, when you can get those people to be as passionate and as concerned as you are, and you're teetering right there. So when did you realize you were kind of on the edge of excellence? You had this lack of confidence. You thought you were just getting by, but you got into all these great schools. You thought you were just getting by, but you did so well in your jobs. When did you figure out you were kind of teetering on the edge of excellence? And what got you over with this business? What got you into that excellent realm?
I think this has applied to like all like the different phases or seasons or, you know, whatever you want to call them of my life, is I've always kind of questioned, like, so the knowing within that I'm meant to do this, right? Whether that's Neon Owl, Open Door Sessions, Reiko, College Works, you know, whatever that may be. And I think what always pushes me over the edge of excellence is the knowing is there. It's never going to go away unless you try to turn off your brain, which is impossible. So the voices of you should do this is always there. So what always has gotten me over the edge of excellence is a system I have in place. So I never ignore the voices. So I always ask and I dive deeper of what is it that I want? Why do I want it? Like my why, right? Or like living a life with no regrets and passion and truly going after it instead of settling for second best. And when I say second best, it just means the thing that I like, but doesn't burn inside me with passion. So when I'm honest with myself, I then open it up to the world. And what I mean by that is when I feel like you keep things to yourself, it's easy to not take action. But when you declare it, and for me, right, like I said, I'm all about integrity. So it's the perfect way to call myself out when I tell my friends, my family, my Facebook status, what I'm going to do. So it's almost like, oh, crap, I put this out into the world, right? Whether that was I was going to do college work, so I was going to run a business, I'm going to start Neon Owl, I'm going to work with the biggest brand in the dance music space. I put it out as a manifestation and then I go for it. So the steps, it's a process. So it's always, the first step is always acknowledging and then declaring it. So I would say in many different times in my life, I think I realized that, for example, in College Works, when I didn't really think it was possible to run a big business like that at the age of, I think, 21 at the time, but I was committed that I was going to work harder than everyone else, AKA the underdog story. It's like, I was committed that no matter what, I was going to wake up earlier, go to bed later, and just make it happen. Even if I wasn't as skilled, I was going to make up for that with effort. And now it's all about cold calling, right? Or warm calling. Now it's more like warm calling because people in the dance music space knows Neon Owl already, but it's about how do I connect with the maximum amount of people, whether that's the fan, the rising artist, or talk to someone that I may think this person or this brand is too big for me, but I'm going to share the vision anyways. So when I continue to share that out, that's what pushes me and Neon Owl over the edge of excellence, because here we are creating bigger and better events. Like here we are more connected to like so many people and brands and DJs in the industry than I even thought in the very beginning.
So there's some skill in what you just said that I want to just flag for a second. So you acknowledge, you listen to your voices, you declare, and then you do it and you go hard. But I want to just stop at the acknowledge. You said you listen to the voices. 7,000 negative voices go through your head every day. Not very many positive voices, but you listen to them and you dive in. And you mentioned you ask why, and there's the five levels of why. Why do I want to do that? Why is that important to me? Why would I care about that? You just keep asking why five times, but you do it to the positive and the negative. No, you can't do that, Elaine. That's a dumb idea. Why is that a dumb idea? Well, why would that not work out? So you're able to, and it takes a skill. You're positive. You're inquisitive. You've got the skill to go through the five levels of why. You've got the skill to listen to your voices. You've got the skill to take the negative, you know, everybody's got them, and say, no, that's not right. Throw that away, grab the positive and say, yes, that is right. And I just want to stop there because people are thinking about what do I do to start my business? And Elaine just said, listen to the voices. And some people listening, you know, those negative voices are getting them. So you got to pay attention to them and do the five levels of why. And then you got to grab the positive ones and do the five levels of why. You got to journal. You got to think about it for a long time. There's a lot to this process. And then you declare, and your definition of excellence is you do what you say. So you've declared it. And then you go hard because your definition of excellence is do the best to your ability. And then a few years later, you've got Neon Owl, and people can find Neon Owl on Instagram, of course. You could just go look up Neon Owl. Where else can they find Neon Owl?
Yeah, so you can find our website is neonowl.co, that's C-O. And then our socials is Neon Owl Co as well. So we're on Facebook, Instagram, and then of course our website.
And people should go check it out. I check it out. I want to ask you one last question before I let you go. And I know we're running out of time. What is the biggest sacrifice you made way back in your 20s? And I know you're now at the ripe old age of in your 30s. What's the biggest sacrifice you made way back in your 20s that you'll never regret?
So the biggest sacrifice I made was actually I chose to get into the internship and I worked a lot of hours. It was something my parents and everyone else was against. They didn't want me to do that. They wanted me to go the more traditional route. So I think what I sacrificed was time, but time in that moment is nothing in comparison if you look at the grand scheme of things. And it was sacrificing what everyone else thought of me. Like my friends were like, oh, why are you doing that? Like you could be doing this. My parents were like, why don't you get a nice little internship at an office at like some government office? And basically what others thought of me and what others thought was right versus what I knew in my heart was the right path for me.
Well, that's a cool sacrifice to hear at the end of this meeting. I'm glad you did CollegeWorks. I know half the parents are against it, the other half are for it, but you got to fight for what you think is going to help you out. And I'm glad you did it because we've had a good time together. Thank you so much for coming on the show and extending our good times together. Really love what you had to say today.
Thank you, Matt. Really appreciate it.
I hope you enjoyed that episode today on the Edge of Excellence podcast. Make sure to hit subscribe on whichever platform you're listening to this. If this episode made you think of someone, go ahead, take a screenshot and share this exact episode with them. This show exists to showcase what is possible when young leaders are willing to step out of their comfort zone and choose to excel in their lives. To learn more about our internship for young and ambitious students, www.oneinternship.com/podcast to see if it's something that makes sense for you. Once again, it is www.oneinternship.com/podcast. Let this be a reminder for you to live on the edge of excellence in your business and life. See you next time.